22 now. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, the title of the message is, You May Be Farther Away Than You Think. Luke chapter 22, and let's begin reading in verse 31 of this chapter. Luke 22, 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And they said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt deny that thou knowest me. Drop down to verse 39. And he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was drawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and this his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he arose from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them asleep for sorrow, and said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw that would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, Suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, Be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he was sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, This man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, Woman, I know him not. And after a little while another saw him and said, Thou art also of them. And Peter said, Man, I'm not. And about the space of an hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying, Of a truth, this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, and how he had said unto him before the cock crow, Thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. All this takes place just hours before the crucifixion. They've observed the Passover. The Lord's warned of his betrayal and death that's coming. Satan has entered into Judas Iscariot for him to carry out his devious plan. He's now at this time, as the conversation's taking place there, began anyway, he was conspiring with the priests to betray Jesus Christ. And during this time, Peter boldly declares his faithfulness and loyalty to Jesus Christ, his devotion. Then he's warned. He's present for the betrayal. He resisted. It was he who drew the sword to cut off the high priest, or the servant of the high priest's ear. And then he follows as the Lord is taken from a distance. He denies the Lord. He lies. He curses. And then he flees and ends up weeping bitterly. How did this take place? What caused all of this? First, I want you to see this. Peter failed to listen to the warning. The Lord warned him repeatedly about what was about to take place. Look at verse 31 again. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon! And that's, I've always read that a little bit differently, but I was looking at this and I thought, look at that, and I thought, he's warning him. So maybe I've been wrong about that. I can't say that I'm right now, but the thought came to me is, you know how when you're talking to your kids and, you know, hey, Jesse, come over here and do this, you know. And then there's the other time is, Jesse, Wendell, Cotter. He called him Simon, not Peter. And he's warning him. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. He says, Peter, or Simon, Satan's got his sights focused upon you. That laser pointer's right on your chest. You're about to be fired upon, Simon. You better be ready. Peter didn't listen. He failed to heed the warning. And soon, this one who was so devoted and so boldly proclaimed his faithfulness to the Lord is distant from him, separated. Folks, we've got an adversary. You say, oh, preacher, do you really believe in that devil? You know, the pointy head and the long tail and the pitchfork? Well, that may not be how he is accurately represented, but I believe in the devil. Amen. I've had enough dealings with him in my own life and with other people to understand that he's real, folks. And the biggest mistake we can make as Christians is to dismiss that as some kind of a fable. The Lord warned him. Satan desires to sift you as wheat. The Lord had faced him in the wilderness after he'd fasted for 40 days. Jesus Christ was face to face with him. He understood the power and the attacks of Satan. Keep your finger here and go to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 8. 1 Peter, you know, the guy that we just read about, wrote this. After that warning of how Satan desired him to sift him as wheat, Peter now writes this, verse 8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Peter says, I've been there. I experienced it firsthand. He thrashed me. He says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Satan desires to thrash us. Look at James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I take a little bit different approach than a lot of Christians do towards Satan. Many people don't believe that a Christian can be controlled or possessed, or I don't care what term you want to use, by Satan. I don't believe that's accurate. The warnings against Satan are pretty clear. And here James says we need to resist him for him to flee. But if you leave the door open, he's coming in. Yes, Satan can't have any control over us. that God doesn't allow or that we don't allow. But if you leave the door open, he's coming in. We are servants to whom we obey, whether of obedience to righteousness or unto ungodliness. You don't resist, he's going to take control. He will take control of your life. Now, you can call it oppression, possession. I don't care what you call it. He can have control if we allow that. He's got to be resisted. Look at Luke chapter 12, Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 and verse 12. Those by the wayside are they that hear the word. This is the parable of the sower and the seed. This is the very first soil or place that the seed falls and it's being sown. And he says, there, hear the word. And then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. He says, Satan causes people not to get saved by taking the incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God, before it has a chance to take root in a person's heart. That's the wayside. Can I put a little different application on this thing? I think that happens in Christian lives to some degree too. By not heeding the warnings that are clearly recorded in this word. God tells us some things about being prepared against Satan. He told Peter. Peter failed to heed that warning. What happened? He fell prey to Satan. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He failed to heed the warning about Satan. Secondly, he failed to heed the warning about temptation. Now, these things can be related, but they're also two different things. Look again at Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22 began at verse 40 at this time. This is Jesus praying there. He says, when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. He's got the disciples alone just prior to this betrayal and arrest. And he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's getting ready to go off by himself to pray a little while. But before he separates himself from the disciples, he says, look, you guys need to pray too. I need to get alone and do some praying on my own. But while I'm there, you need to tend to some prayer too, because lest you enter into temptation. Verse 41, he was drawn from them about a stone's cast, kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Just file that back in your minds and think about that. There's a whole sermon I could preach on that. I have preached on that, but just think about that. Verse 44, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping. Instead of praying, they're sleeping. He had warned them, guys, you're in danger. There's a temptation that could befall you, and you need to spend some time in prayer to protect yourselves against that. Not only beware of Satan, but beware of the other temptations that face you as well. And instead they went to sleep. And he said to them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Look at Matthew chapter 6. Well, you don't need to turn there. It's the Lord's Prayer. He says, what? Deliver us from evil. The temptation. But they failed to heed the warning. I had a guy tell me one time, you know, I don't ever pray for anything for myself. I think it's selfish to pray for myself. I'll pray for others, but I don't ever pray for myself. That's not selfish. That's stupid. He got broke down 120 miles from home. Who's going to take care of you? Well, hopefully a mechanic that you can trust like Mike, but there's some out there that you can't trust. But God can orchestrate the situation. We need to pray, folks. There's issues, there's things out there that the only thing that's going to protect us is the God who spoke this world into existence. He sees it all. He sees the beginning and he sees the end and everything in between. And he's in complete control of all of it. Man, that's the one I want to put my situation in the hands of. Pray for yourself. Don't be stupid and think you're being spiritual somehow by not praying for yourself. That's not spiritual at all. The Lord strengthened Jesus as he prayed. That angel came and ministered to him. But we do need to pray for one another as well. You know what? Sometimes, just like Peter, we start to slip away. And sometimes we see it before I see it. And you need to pray. Lord, protect the preacher. Or protect this one or that one. Pray one for another. There was the warning out there that you enter not into temptation. Because Peter messed up bad, right? We all agree there? But you know what? It also says they all forsook him and fled. Even John the beloved, who stayed with him longer than any of the others. But eventually they all forsook him. And when he rose from the grave and started appearing to them, it was like, who are you? We all need that protection from temptation. He failed to heed the warnings of Satan and of temptation. Secondly, he was self-confident. Look at Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 30. Matthew 26, 30. When they had sung a hymn, I think I got the wrong chapter there. Okay. When they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives, and saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I shall smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. And Peter answered and said unto him, though all men should be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Yeah, right. At least not in this moment. Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Peter's leading the charge, Yeah, that's right, Peter. We're with you. We'll stay with you to the end, Lord. Or for the next few minutes, anyway. Self-confident. And then later on, it's Peter that whips out that sword and cuts off the ear of that servant of the high priest when they came to arrest Jesus Christ. And the Lord said, put your swords up, guys. And he heals that man's ear. They're fighting the wrong battle. Because their confidence is in their flesh. Because they've not prayed as they should in preparation for this and the temptations that are coming their way. And none of it makes sense to them. because there's a distance that is developed between them and their God. They fought too late. They fought the wrong battle. Fought in their own strength. And the result was then that Peter denied and lied and cursed and fled and wept. Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Look at chapter 18 and verse 12 of Proverbs. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. You know what one of my greatest fears is as a Christian? It's really not Satan. It's me. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? Peter didn't know his heart. He thought he did. He thought he was strong enough to stand anything. Willing to fight to the death. And he proved it by pulling out that sword. But all of his confidence was in himself. And not in the Lord. And he failed. And if my confidence as a pastor is in myself and not God, I'm headed for destruction. You hear it all the time. This so-and-so preacher ran off with his secretary or did this or did that or the other thing. It's because they're relying on the flesh. That's where it starts, folks. Not only with the preacher, but with each and every one of us. That confidence, oh, I can handle anything. You better be careful, because you're setting yourself up for a fall. That's what Peter did. He didn't realize the distance that had developed between him and the Lord. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 12. First Corinthians 10:12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You beware if you think you've come to the point in your spiritual life where you're not vulnerable. Because then you're at your most vulnerability. The very next verse, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but I am capable of handling it all. No, God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. The way to escape was Peter, John, James, and the rest of you, you better pray. I'm warning you right now, you better pray, lest you enter into temptation, which they did. He was self-confident. And finally, he failed to stay close to the Lord. Go back to Luke chapter 22 and look at verse 54. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. Peter. Realize Peter was one of the first disciples, apostles chosen. One of the first apostles that started following the Lord. Of the initial 12, he was, I believe his brother was chosen first, but then Peter came right along afterwards. So for the entire 3.5 years of Jesus Christ's earthly ministry, Peter was there from the very beginning. He'd seen it all. He participated in healing himself and doing many of the things. He'd been there when Lazarus was raised from the dead, when the multitudes were fed by the loaves and fishes. He saw it all. He heard all the preaching. He was a part of it. And in addition to that, there appears to have been kind of an inner circle of 3 of the 12 that had a more unique, a more special relationship with the Lord. Peter was of them. Peter, James, and John. When they went to the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17, and it was Peter, James, and John were there and saw Jesus Christ transformed before them. They saw them in his glorified state. And over again, you saw those 3 pulled aside for some special training. Peter was part of that. He followed so closely, he stumbled over the Lord. Peter, in Matthew 16, was one that said, when Jesus asked, "Who do men say that I am?" His response, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the Lord's response was, "Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, Peter, but my Father." He was praised for his response. Peter was there for that. Look at chapter 6 of John. John chapter 6. John 6, verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. This is actually fairly late in the ministry of Jesus Christ, the 3.5 years. And he's starting to challenge them a little bit, the people that are following. To the point in this situation, many said, "Whoa, I'm not buying into that. I'm going back home." Verse 67, "Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will you also go away?" As in mass, people have abandoned Jesus Christ. What about you guys? Where are you at? You still with me? Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Why would we abandon you, Lord? You are the Christ. You're the Messiah that we've been looking for. The deliverer of Israel and the Savior of mankind. What else is there to go after? Lord, we're all in." That's Peter. He was there for the foot washing. And as the Lord knelt before him to wash his feet, he said, "Oh, no, Lord, not me. I need to wash yours. I'm not worthy to have you bow before me like this." That's Peter. And as we said, in the garden, he drew his sword. He's following. But what he didn't see was the distance that was beginning to develop. When they came and they arrested Jesus Christ and they started to drag him away, Peter was there. He could see the Lord. He saw where they were taking him, and he's going right along. But he doesn't see the distance. "Oh, I could run up and touch him from where I'm at." But he's not there. And that takes place in our own lives as well. Amen. I'm still going to church. I'm still reading my Bible. I'm still praying. But in my heart, they're starting to develop a distance. And you see what the result in Peter's life was. And he could see where the Lord was, but he's standing at that fire, getting his hands warm. And he stands there, and that little girl, "Hey, I think I recognize you. I think I see, yeah, you were with him." Not me. Denial and a lie. And then somebody else, yeah. You're one of them. Oh, no. Not me. It's mistaken identity. And finally, the third one. Yeah. You're one of those Galileans. I know you. And then he curses. Just to prove the point. The one who had said, "Lord, I'm with you to the end. I'll fight to the death." But because of the crowd he was with, he denied the Lord. Look at Psalm chapter 1. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Evil communications corrupt good manners." Communications there is in just not just talk, but the whole manner of our life and the associations that we have. Here in Psalm chapter 1, it's probably the most descriptive passage on this thing. Verse 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." Who are you listening to? "Nor standeth in the way of sinners." Who you hanging out with? "Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Who are your close associates? Because evil communications corrupt good manners. He says the one that doesn't do that, is his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. And that's what happened to Peter. The wind changed against Jesus Christ. And Peter got driven away with it. Because he didn't stay close. Because he was hanging with the wrong crowd. And that can happen to each and every one of us. If we start following afar off, he drifted further and further away from the Lord and was unaware of it. And he fled when he should have stood because he didn't heed the warnings. He cursed, he lied, and he denied instead of saying, "Yep, he's my Savior. And I'll stand with him and I'll be crucified with him if that's what it takes." Tradition says Peter was crucified at the end of his life. It's obvious that Peter repented of what took place. But how much better not to have to repent? How much better just to be able to stand and stay. Look at John chapter 18. John chapter 18. John 18 and verse 15. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus unto the palace of the high priest. That disciple was John, the Apostle John, who wrote the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. But Peter stood at the door without. So he was there for a while. But then the distance continued to grow. And John had an in because he knew the guy guarding the door. And I can't prove this, but I imagine that John may have, come on, Pete. I can get you in. I'll just wait here. I'm good. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known to the high priest, and spake unto Peter, or unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I'm not. And the servants and the officers stood there, and he had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Drop down to verse 25. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself and said therefore unto him, art thou not also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. And one of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off. Yeah, I know you. You cut off my cousin's ear. Now Peter knows he's identified. Not only being associated with Jesus Christ, but having assaulted a guard of the priest. Yeah, you're the one. And did not I see thee in the garden with him? Verse 27, Peter then denied him again, and immediately the cock crew. All because he didn't stay close. Folks, we need to stay close to God. Amen. And we need to encourage one another to do that. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10 and verse 25. Well, let's start verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Peter wavered. For he is faithful that promised, and let us consider one another and to provoke. That's where we stop a lot of times. We're good at provoking each other. But he says, provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. That's what this is all about, folks. And it's not just about the preaching. I know that's what gets the attention, and certainly, if I'm doing it right, that's an important part of what we're doing here today. But you know what? There's that fellowship one with another. That encouragement. And sometimes you come in walking here with your chin down on your knees, and just to see somebody who comes up and gives you a hug. Says, glad to see you here today. That might be just the thing that you need to help you to step Amen. Closer again. Amen. That's what this is about, folks. I don't believe the church's number one goal is to reach the lost. I believe that's a responsibility. But that's actually more a responsibility of us as individuals. The church is for believers. To encourage, to uplift, to provoke unto love and to good works. How are we doing? How are you doing? Let's stand, please, for prayer. Lord, help us not just to provoke each other. Help us, God, to be sensitive to what might be going on in each other's lives. Struggles, trials, heartaches, sorrows, griefs. And help us, God, to look at ways to lift one another up. To be an encouragement. To seek to offer that smile. To be willing to just stop and listen instead of having to tell all about ourselves and what's going on. To offer that hug. To offer that prayer. And maybe even right at that very instant to just stop everything else and pray with and for that individual. God, help us as a church to fulfill our responsibilities to each other. Help us, God, to stay close. To recognize when we or someone else is beginning to drift, beginning to allow that distance to develop. Help us, Lord, to keep each other in check and close to you. Thank you, Father, for your precious word. I pray that you'll apply it to the hearts as you see the needs of each individual here this morning. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.